Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, fj@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Thursday, so this is an archive show, first released as a newspaper column and podcast episode sometime between 2 and 10 years ago. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy it. This story was first published on February 27th of 2011 under the headline, Tiny Home-Built Schooner Saved Tillamook Settlers. Here we go. If you've ever paid a visit to the Tillamook Cheese Factory, you surely noticed the little black two-masted schooner permanently dry-docked in the parking lot by the highway. But few people outside the little Tillamook Bay Basin know the significance of this vessel. And actually, not many inside it remember either. But here's the story. In the early 1850s, a small group of settlers came to Tillamook Bay. They found the local Native Americans friendly and welcoming, the land fertile and green, and the bay full of good things to eat. The problem was that getting in and out was very hard to do. Rugged, trackless mountains to the east bordered a band of wilderness 75 miles thick separating the Willamette Valley from the sea. The mountains to the north blocking the pass to Astoria were even more formidable. A traveler on horseback could get through, but a buggy or wagon, no. And there wasn't much reason to want to go south. Not in the 1850s there wasn't. That left the west, that is, the open sea. But Tillamook Bay has a bar whose reputation wasn't too much milder than that of the legendary Columbia River itself. Ebb tides in Tillamook Bay don't pile up into 70-foot-tall freighter killers like they do off Astoria, but they do get plenty rough. And in those pre-jetty days, the sandbars could be tough to dodge. Still, one enterprising captain by the name of Means was willing to do it. Captain Means owned a small brigantine and a smaller sloop and was skilled enough to brave the bars and bring things like coffee and milled flour into the bay to be exchanged for things like wheat and cheese. Means soon figured out that he all but owned a trade that would probably soon be very lucrative. So he embarked on a plan to sell both his ships and build a steamer, with which he planned to go into business in Tillamook. Alas, Means died at just the wrong moment, after selling his sloop and barkentine, but before building the steamer. His death left all of Tillamook Bay effectively stranded like a desert island. Of the tiny handful of captains plying the west coast in 53, none was willing to risk this trip. Though the settlers had all the milk and cheese they could eat, and then some, after all, cheese was their main stock in trade, they had no sugar. Nor flour, nor coffee. They had to laboriously grind wheat kernels in their coffee grinders to bake bread, and they resorted to drinking a toasted wheat beverage instead of coffee or tea. No one was going to starve, but life on a diet of cheese and boiled wheat and whatever roots and plants the Native Americans could spare was miserable, and they determined to do something about it. So they built a ship. As pioneer Warren Vaughn later recalled, the project was started in late September 1854 with the laying of a 37.5-foot keel. The tiny community swarmed over the project, milling raw logs into dimensional lumber with a whipsaw and sealing the hull with pitch. Lacking iron to make fittings, the settlers trekked over the northerly mountains to scavenge the iron from the Shark, an 184-ton U.S. Navy sloop of war, actually a schooner, that had shipwrecked there on 1843, and, by the way, after whose deck artillery Cannon Beach was named. Local Native American tribes, happy to help their neighbors, salvaged a bunch of canvas, rope, and more iron from another wreck to the south, that was of the bark Oriole, and sold the whole lot to the settlers for $10, a pittance even back then. 3 months later, on January 1st, 1855, a complete schooner, christened the Morning Star of Tillamook, was ready to be launched. After an unsuccessful attempt to launch it on skids greased with estuary mud, the settlers reluctantly sacrificed a steer to get the necessary tallow, and to the sounds of cheers, the tiny ship slid into the bay. I have no idea why they didn't try butter. Presumably they had quite a bit of that. And with that, Tillamook was back in business. Tiny as it was, the little schooner was big enough to solve the community's problem, and in competent seafaring hands, it quickly proved that Tillamook was a place worth trading with. A year and a half later, the Morning Star was sold to an Astoria company, which then sold it to a shipping company in Olympia, Washington, and just a few years later, in 1860, it sank in the Strait of Juan de Fuca near the San Juan Islands. But it had made its point, and from then on, Tillamook never lacked for shipping. Residents never forgot it, and in 1959, a group of volunteers built a new one just like it, the Morning Star II, which they used to deliver 6 tons of cheese to Portland that year. The schooner you see at the cheese factory today is another replica of the original, which was dedicated in 1992. Key sources in this story include works by Ada M. Orcutt, Don Marshall, E.W. Wright, and Tillamook.com. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 550 stories, originally created and published as newspaper columns and subsequently podcasts in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. Offbeat Oregon is a division of Pulp Lit Productions, a boutique publishing house owned and operated by yours truly, specializing in audiobook and multimedia editions of the work of the classic pre-war pulp writers H.P. Lovecraft, Robert E. Howard, Algernon Blackwood, Edgar Rice Burroughs, the great ones. For details, please see pulp-lit.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license type CC by SA 4.0, which basically means you can do anything you want to with the content. Copy it, remix it, add to it, songify it, post it on your blog, turn it into a tweet storm, whatever you like as long as you A, give me credit for it, and B, whatever you make is also released under a Creative Commons license. For full details, see offbeatoregon.com/CC. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday morning, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you even miss it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.